Okay, we start with Mark 8:34. And it begins with, "And when we had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." These verses, I would like you guys to keep in the back of your heads as I continue on. Well, next I want to continue on with my short testimony, little background about myself. Okay, I was born and raised in Southern California. My parents immigrated from the country of Peru. Peru is in South America, if you didn't know. Main language, Spanish. Along with what they brought with them was their culture. And a lot of their culture is embedded in the lifestyle that they carry with them. So, that being said, I grew up Catholic, and the whole time I was growing up, I thought I was a pretty devout Catholic. You know, we went to church once a year, and that was always like either Christmas or during New Year's, and it's like, okay, we did it once. All right, good. Now we're good for a whole year. And when times got bad, they take some holy water and sprinkle it around the house. All right, now we're good for, after this predicament we got ourselves into. So that's how I grew up. I grew up in a nice area with a lot of bad influences. And I got into trouble a lot. By age 13, I was in jail. I was in juvenile hall. And, everyone thinks, oh, wow, 13-year-old in jail. That's pretty serious. Yeah, so it was pretty bad. I got kicked out of school. We got kicked out of my town, pretty much. And I ended up moving out into the Inland Empire area. So this whole time, my family's thinking, this kid can't go back to public school. No more. Like, the public school system failed him. And so during this strife that my parents were going through, like what to do with this guy, at their business, they had some customers. And so these two customers, they were Seventh-day Adventists. I've never heard of that before. And they said, hey, we know a school, a little academy school. And so I attended this school and did not enjoy it at all. I told my parents, these people, they pray all day. They're always talking about the Bible, and they eat veggie bacon. And time went on, made my friends. The next year came around, and I was still, as you like to say, stubborn. One of these particular friends, though, that stuck with me was a guy named Tree. Tree's parents are actually right here. Hello. And so Tree and I stayed friends, and we continued as he went to different schools, and I continued on to the schools I went to around the country. And then, even though I started learning all these things about Seventh-day Adventism and everything, I still stuck to my own wants and needs. And I said, yeah, all that, the teachings of Jesus and all that, it seems nice. It seems good. But I still want to do the drinking and the partying. That's glamorized. I like it. I want to be like the guys I grew up seeing who were in the rap videos, the guys always causing trouble. I was halfway there because I went to jail already, so let's keep on going, So that brings me to our next verse, Matthew 6:33. So Matthew 6:33 is right before Mark. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. And we go back to the Holy Word, Matthew 6, 33. Okay, so it starts off, Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So do you guys think that I was seeking God first? No, I wasn't. Not at all. Next school year arrived, I was still going through SDA school, still thinking, okay, all my friends are gone that I had made at this school. I'm still here. Let's give it a chance. So there goes the first seed. So I give it a chance. I start participating in the music and the singing and everything. And this struggle came into my heart, this tug of war, this battle inside of me. And so I started attending church. And my parents thought, whoa, why is this guy leaving on Saturday mornings when he should be at home watching cartoons? So I started attending church on Sabbath. And even though I was going through these struggles, the pastor had left me these words that I'll never forget. He said, even if you are deep in sin, he said, continue to praise the Lord. And so that stuck with me throughout many years. But along that, I continue the partying, seeking my own understanding, thinking, drinking and being with the parties is happiness. The party is happiness, not Jesus. No. That makes no sense. Jesus equals pain and drinking is happy. And so then I came to the college years, and things just got worse. I started spiraling down. I was doing terrible in school, and the drinks became stronger, the parties became more intense, and I didn't want any more part of church. Church became, again, like my early life, a once-a-year thing. Oh, yeah, I'll show up to church once a year. I think I'll be good. And so let's take a look at Ephesians 5:18, please. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. If you're not there or not, I'm going to go ahead and keep going because we have a lot to cover. All right, it says, do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What was I filled with? I was filled with my own pride. It was my own pride that was killing me, that I was saying, oh, no, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need it. I don't need the Word of God. I'm going to keep partying. I'm going to keep doing my own thing. So one day, my good friend Tree from SDA school called me up out of nowhere. And he told me that he was in the U.S. Navy. And he tried to talk me into joining as well. I said, no way. I was like, and I waited, and many months later, I joined. I bought it. I was in the Navy, and I thought, all right, cool. I'm in a new life, a new career, new everything. Let's see where this takes me. So I'm in the Navy, but the Navy is a small representation of the entire nation, of all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of people. And so I was amongst even more worldly people than before. I was even amongst more drunkards and more people who drank way more than I had ever seen in my entire life. And so my health started getting worse because it became a everyday thing, this drinking, this partying, this worldly people I was chasing. I was trying to be like the worldly people. I was trying to, you know, be the most fashionable guy and seeking the strongest drinks. And so it became Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and then came Friday nights. And I said, I think Friday nights are okay. I think God, as long as I, you know, I heard about this Sabbath message before. Should I or should I not? Yeah, why not? You know, I'm going out every other night. Why not? So there goes the fourth commandment. I wasn't no longer keeping the fourth commandment. I said, all right, I'm going to do my own thing. Keep going on. Keep with the drinking. So my only day I was actually resting was Sunday because I was like, oh, 6 days of drinking. That's a lot of work. I need a rest. And so that brings me to our next one. Please open Proverbs 23, 29 through 30. It goes Psalms, Proverbs 23. All right, Psalms 23, 29. It says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? It is they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. So, was I having pain? Yes. Was I suffering? Yes. I was suffering because I was having all kinds of personal problems in my life. I had a girlfriend who did not understand what I was trying to do with my career and all my ways. And she caused me to do crazy things. Babbling, yes. Those nights I was drunk, people were laughing and joking with me because they said, oh, this guy's hilarious when he's drunk. Listen to him. Listen to him go. Redness of the eyes. Every single day after drinking, I'd be walking around work with the reddest eyes, looking for a place to take a nap. I was hiding from my boss. And so my work life was affected. So, hey, where's Jean-Pierre? I don't know. Well, my friends can only cover for me for so long. And then they start noticing, all right, this guy's, he's always hungover and he's not doing his job. We're going to give him a bad report. So that's even more things to be depressed about, correct? So I got the girlfriend problems. I got the depression problems. I got the health problems because since I wasn't sleeping, all my nights were not spent sleeping. My nights were not spent resting. My nights were spent staying out late till 2, 3 in the morning. I was getting maybe 3 hours of sleep every single day. So what comes after not sleeping a long time? You get insomnia. You get a form of insomnia because you're always awake. You're not, you're just not resting correctly. So insomnia came after the hungoverness and the bad things going on inside my body. And so I was still chasing all these dreams, these dreams with no end. I was chasing the worldly girls. I was, going out to whatever place I was drinking at and saying, oh, yeah, that girl's pretty. I need to go talk to her. Bad idea. So the girlfriend thing kept going off and on, off and on. The girlfriend was saying, hey, don't you go to church sometimes? And I said, yeah, that's once in a while. She said, well, just don't go. And then things started dawning on me. Wait, there is someone telling me not to go to church. I think that's wrong. So that's where the first issues came with the girlfriend. And so we go into Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3 applies to why I had to tell her what I had to tell her. Oh, thank you. All right, Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, deep down I was saying, I still want to do this church thing, still want to kind of follow God. But then there's someone conflicting with me saying that I should not follow God. And so we had to break up. And I said, no more. And so as I started to realize that my life was going nowhere, then I started to take it easier. I started to sleep again. And so as I started to sleep again, let's take a look at Isaiah 30:15. Okay. I, Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." I started making better decisions once I started resting better. I started praying again. I started resting again. You know, I prayed to God, like, why am I struggling? Why am I always feeling depressed? You know, I was struggling with the depression, the drinking, the wanting to stop drinking after this, because my work life was just, my career was at stake, my friends were at stake, everything was at stake at this point. And so let's take a quick look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7, please. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And I was wondering, like, how, you know, will my career get better? Will my relationship with my family get better? You know, instead of spending time with the family, I was always spending time at the bar drinking. And so we take a look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." So then that little seed started blossoming inside of me, saying, all right, you have seen how nasty this way of life leads, ends up. But then Jesus offers a different way of life. And so let's take a quick look at Philippians 4:13. Because I thought to myself, it's so beautiful, this life of drinking that I see all my friends doing. They're always having fun. They seem so happy. But how can I say no to that? How can I say no to what's happy? And I take a look at Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do this, not on my own power, but only through Christ Jesus. And so I had already accepted myself. I have to change. I have to make this commitment, but I can't do it on my own. It's only Christ who can change me. So then time went on, and the Navy sent me to this little state called Virginia. Virginia is a really country area. There's not much out there. But the good news is our good friend John Wynn was in Maryland, only 2 hours away from me. So I said, oh, look, I have a friend actually out here. So John called me and said, hey, since you're out here too, let's go to church. And I said, yeah, why not? So we end up going to church. And John Wynn says, this church, you'll like it. They have good food. And so I said, let's do it. While we're at church, we met a nice couple named JP and Edith. And I said, oh, I like the name JP. It's like me. So they invite us to a Bible study. And so I had learned everything when I was a teenager. I said, I know all the Bible studies. I know about the state of the dead. I know about everything about the Sabbath. What new can you teach me? And there goes my pride. That's my pride right there. I know it all. So, stubborn as I was, I still said, all right, let's go. Let's study. And they gave me a study on the three angels message. And I was mesmerized. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What is this three angels message you're talking about? I thought I knew everything. I knew about the state of the dead. I knew about Sabbath. I knew about everything that, you know, everything that Jesus did and, you know, and what he did not. And now I'm hooked. I was hooked at this point. I couldn't stop. I wanted to keep learning. I was saying, oh, what else can you teach me? So these two friends of ours, John and I said, why didn't I learn this sooner? Why hadn't anybody that I know, out of all my SDA friends, why hadn't anybody told me before about this three angel message? And so at this point, I felt I had a mission. This sanctuary message, three angel message, this church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, we have this beautiful treasure that we're sitting on. were sitting on it. I wanted to, you know, jump up and tell everybody at the park about this message. Everybody walking by, hey, look, you know, there's this beautiful sanctuary message, and the first angel said this, second angel said that. Why didn't this happen to me sooner in my life? And so I started changing. I immediately stopped even the one drink a week. I had dwindled down my drinking to about one or two drinks a week, and I said, I'm done. I have no desire anymore to drink. I have no desire to have a cigarette with my drink because the two go hand in hand. I said, what has happened to me? I had no idea what happened to me inside. And so we take a look at Genesis 1:4. Please, 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 please. Let's go to Genesis 1:4. Genesis 1:4 says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so, God knew light and dark don't mix. And so you think, what's one drink? One drink is nothing. If you look at it through a scientific point of view and you say, okay, one drink, what's one drink going to do? You're right, it's not going to do anything. But the problem is this. The problem is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's flip to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever soever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So this new life that I was seeking, this new mission that I had in my life, I said, is that one drink, is that for the glory of God? Is it really? You got to think to yourself, all your friends and your coworkers at work, everybody who you know outside in the world is spreading this message. What's one drink? Let's have one drink. One drink's not going to do nothing. A cup of wine. They say a cup of wine is good for the heart. Every night, right? Well, as we know, which we can study some other time, that it's not the alcohol in the drink of the wine that's good for your heart. It's the grape juice. So, anyway, I ask us and myself and everybody, what are we doing with our lives? Are we doing Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Are we putting God first? It is in the seeking that we find the peace. It's not the other way around. It's not putting God second or seeking God later on. It's seeking God right now. Amen. And so we take a look at the first verse from earlier, Mark 8:34. And when he called the people unto him with the disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That moment at the park, I denied myself. I said, this is not happiness. Even having one drink with a group of friends, a social drink, is not happiness. I can't do it no more. I'm done. I'm finished. And so the key word is deny. You have to deny your pride. You have to deny all the worldly things from before. That's why he says, deny yourself and take up the cross. Change. Die. You have to die and then be born again. And so, as we take a look at, we denied ourselves. We have to seek first the kingdom of God. And then I also like to look at Revelation 12:10. And so, Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Okay, so key word that I want to mention, the accuser of our brethren. So the devil is going to continue accusing you of your past. that's one thing I always struggle with. Oh, you've always drinking your whole life. My family's always saying, you always drink. You know, you always come with us to the bar. You always do this. Why change? And so that's the devil accusing you. But God doesn't care about your past. God only cares about your future. And so, remember this. Every time people are pointing at your past, it's not God who's pointing at your past. It's the devil. And so, I would like to take a quick look at Psalms 23. And you guys know how Psalms 23 starts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so, I ask everybody, the key word, what does I shall not want mean? Well, if we translate Old English, want is what that means, want. I am wanting. You're always wanting to have something. I shall not want can also be translated as I need nothing else. I was always wanting to be happy, happy with seeking the life that I was seeking before. I wanted to be where the people drink, you know, be where the people are dressed nice and everything. And I was seeking that party lifestyle that led to nowhere. And so I thought I needed that. And it turns out that I did not, because I didn't have the Lord as my shepherd. Lord is your shepherd. God is leading you in your life. God is going to help you deny yourself if you ask for it. You know, if you're seeking his kingdom first, you know, let him lead. Don't be afraid anymore. I was fearful my whole life, thinking I'm doomed. You know, I used to sit back there behind the glass, sometimes hungover, and I think, oh, I'm just here just to listen to a message. But I know I have no future. But we look again at Revelation 12, and the accuser is always going to be accusing you of that. But if you look in the first part of Revelation 12:10, and I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, because the power of his Christ, it's the power of the Lord. Lord Jesus is that shepherd. And so I'd like to close with prayer. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath. And we ask you right now to come down and open our hearts, Father God. Thank you so much that we have fellowship with all our brothers and sisters here. Thank you so much for being with us and giving us strength and power. Father God, please give us that power to overcome whatever it is holding us from being closer to you, God. If we're not close to you like we used to be, give us that power to change, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask you so much, all these things, be with us, Father, and continue to be our shepherd, Lord Jesus. Help us deny ourselves, and let us follow you and take up our own crosses. I pray all these things in your name.